Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our new website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans, and welcome to episode number 224 of the Peristyle Podcast. Today is June 11th, 2012. We got a great show for you this week on the Peristyle Podcast. After a brief hiatus, we took the week off. It was my one-year anniversary. We missed the show last year for our wedding, and for our one-year anniversary, went to Belize. So I do apologize for not having a show for the past week. And for Coach Harvey Hyde and Dan Weber, they're coming on the show. They're going to share all our insights of what's been going on with the USC Trojan football team. The team started summer workouts this past week, so we'll talk about that. We got to answer a lot of your questions. We actually reached out to Facebook and Twitter and got some questions on the team from there. So we'll do our best to answer each and every one of those that came in over Facebook, Twitter, and email, and some voicemail questions as well. If you have comments or questions and you want to talk to us, the email address is podcast@uscfootball.com, or you can call 206-888-6755. That's our voicemail number. Or if you go to our webpage, peristylepodcast.com, click on the left side of the page, leave a voicemail right there. And without much further ado, we're going to go to Catalina Island, the special hotline. We got Coach Harvey Hyde on the line. Coach, what's going on, sir? How are you?
Well, buddy, it's a great day here in Avalon. And I'm over here getting my batteries charged for this coming football season. It's exciting. Later on in the show, you'll be talking with Gerard Martinez and yourself about some of these recruits and verbal commits that's happened during this period of us being on a bye. So why don't we get started? What do we got to talk about?
Yeah, we got lots to talk about. Before we jump into it, I wanted to thank our sponsor, Southern California Tickets. You can go to sctickets.com. I think the LA Kings are trying to wrap up the Stanley Cup tonight. So if you want tickets for that, you can go to sctickets.com and they will totally hook you up. 1-800-888-7287. If you need tickets for any kind of sporting event, Dodgers still in first place. Angels, I think only three back right now in the American League West. Or if you want to go to concerts, you want to go to some sort of theater event, any of that stuff, you can go to sctickets.com. And they will help you out. And, Coach, you mentioned Gerard Martinez. We're going to do a Trojan Blast recruiting podcast because there has been a lot of action as far as commitments go, Sewell Cravens and Stephen Mitchell. And we're going to talk with Gerard Martinez about that. We already have a ton of recruiting questions to get to. I hope we can fit it all in one show. So they sent a lot of recruiting questions in while I was on hiatus, but we'll get to all those. We'll probably do the show on Tuesday or Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. We'll have Dan Weber coming up later on in the show. He can answer some of your questions there. And, Coach, how you doing over there in Catalina? Did you having a good time? And did you miss us in that week we had off?
No, I did miss the week. It gets to be a regular pattern, you know, like practice. Yeah, you hate bye weeks. I hate bye weeks. When you're doing well and your season's going along, you really don't want to change the momentum or change the procedures for your players and yourself. So I call it a bye week. We had a bye week last week, so we're back into it this week and anxious to talk and talk about Trojan football and also answer a lot of the questions that our listeners send in. And we want to thank them all for doing that as we get closer and closer and closer to another season. It all starts, camp starts August the 6th. Is that correct?
Yeah. So just not that far away. And I think it's 80-something days till the actual college football season begins. So I saw on Twitter today, Coach, there's Vegas lines coming out. USC was favored in each and every single game, which I don't think is a big shocker. But, yeah, it's getting around here. Once fall camp starts, man, it just goes crazy.
It is going to be crazy. It's going to be an exciting season. We can talk about that as we get closer to the season as far as games on the road and games at home and games to look out for. But I think when you're ranked high, you're always going to be a team that everyone wants to beat. You make their season if they can beat you. Some teams, if they can play you close, you've made their season. So we'll talk about that a little bit later when we get closer to the season and maybe run through the schedule one day and see what our thoughts are.
Yeah, that sounds good, Coach. Well, let's jump right in. And this is a question from, it's a voicemail question from our good friend, Guy. Here you go.
Hello, Ryan and Coach. How is Belize, Ryan? And Coach, I think one of the least understood positions in football is the H-back position. As opposed to the tight end position, would you like to see a USC use the H-back a lot this year? And if so, who will play it? Who do you think good at it? And did you use it at UNLV? Thank you in advance.
Let me tell you, I think USC has the perfect personnel to use an H-back. I really do. Yeah, we did use it at UNLV. I used it at Pasadena City College. I've always used it because it causes a lot of mismatches and puts a couple of great tight ends, especially tight ends in the game, to your H-back that can really run. And it makes it really hard for the secondary. You stretch the secondary, plus you have a bigger receiver in the game. And not only is he a bigger and a better blocker, he's a bigger receiver. And you can move him across the line of scrimmage and do a lot of different things. You can trap with him. You can lead with him. You can run more drag patterns with him. You can put two big receivers on the same side and take advantage of it. And I think SC has a tight end package with all their tight ends to really have a great H-back type of formation. I would, if you take a look at this and you put Lee and Woods and then put the tight end group in there, no matter who you put in there, Palme or Thomas or you know, any of these kids. I mean, it as a combination, it could be absolutely almost impossible to stop. It's sort of what New England does, and I think their package is really proven to cause a lot of problems in the NFL, and you've got the best defensive coordinators, the best personnel in the country playing in the NFL. I think USC with the H-back and two tight end offense would be absolutely unbelievable. I really do. You run drags, you run posts, you run corners, you run all kinds of different combinations, and you spread the field. And then a running back with Curtis McNeil, a one-back offense, would be absolutely fantastic because he hides behind the offensive line. He's made big plays. He's a good receiver. I think that's a great suggestion. I hope to see that. Now, in the spring, they couldn't work on that package because all of the tight ends were injured. And not all at one time, but they all seem to have some type of nagging injury. So they'll be back. And I'll tell you, in the fall camp, when we attend it, we'll report it. I know for sure you're going to see that type of package. But when you have great tight ends and that number of tight ends, plus Fitzpatrick coming in, you got to utilize them against the secondary, but you cause so many mismatches. I think it's a great, great point that you brought up.
All right. Thanks for that one, Guy. We're going to go to Facebook. So we got a question on Facebook from Kenny. He says, is USC still a top 25 team without Matt Barkley? So essentially on December 22nd, Coach, happened to be my birthday, if Matt Barkley decided he wasn't going to come back to USC and he went into the NFL draft, where would USC be ranked now? Would they still be a top 25 team?
I would think they would be. If I looked at 25 teams in the country that I wouldn't want to play, wouldn't you have them listed in the top 25? I look at it that way. My number one team in the country is a team I never want to play. Number two all the way on down. And I would say there's other teams in the country I would choose to play before I'd want to play USC with their quickness, their defense. Whitting and Kessler, you know, are good quarterbacks. And with Woods and Lee and the tight ends we just talked about and the replacement now, Walker at the left tackle spot, I think he's a tremendous athlete. You really don't have any weak positions. Now, you might have a little depth problem in a couple places. But, if they're not a 25-ranked team in the country, I want to know who would be. And there's other teams I'd rather play than USC. I certainly believe they would be that. I still feel they would be a great competitor to win the Pac-12 championship. The only problem, you have to beat Oregon twice to win the Pac-12 championship. And to go to the Rose Bowl even, you got to beat Stanford on the road, you got to beat Washington on the road, and you got to beat Oregon twice. You got to beat them twice. People forget you have the championship game now in the Pac-12, and if SC wins the North or the South and Oregon wins the North, they got to play again, even if they've beaten them in the Coliseum. So, you know, that's a pretty big task when you look at – and there isn't any – Washington, you know, is a great football team. And who knows about these other teams you have to play. UCLA is better. Arizona State's going to be better. Arizona's going to be better. Cal's going to be better. So it's a tough conference, and it's going to be a tough challenge for the Trojans or anyone in the Pac-12.
All right. And, Coach, I forgot. Guy asked how Belize was, and I'll give you a quick – it was awesome. It was one of the coolest trips I've ever been on in my life, for sure. Got to do a lot of snorkeling and cave tubing and zip lining and just kind of relax on a beach. We were on a little island, so we were just kind of secluded from everything else. So it was a nice way, you know, Coach, you have to go to Avalon to recharge. It was a good way for me to get down there and recharge, even though I came back and I was pretty much exhausted. But still, it was a good time to get away and check it out. It was fun. Have you ever been down there to Belize, Coach?
No, I haven't. I'll tell you one thing that's great about a vacation. It's always great to come home.
It is.
I'll tell you, it's amazing. You open the door of the house and you say, oh, gosh, it's good to be home. But then all of a sudden you go to your mailbox. Then all of a sudden you go to your you go to your messages. And all of a sudden you say, why did I come home?
Yeah.
Or why did I go on the vacation? It's one or the other.
Right. Totally agree. That's exactly what happened to me. Well, this is a follow-up. This is another Facebook question. This is from Chad, and you mentioned that USC would still be a top 25 team without Matt Barkley. A big part of that would have to be how the USC defense is playing, and T.J. McDonald decided to come back for his senior year. Chad wants to know, how good is this USC defense going to be?
Well, I think it's going to be very good. I think they're strong at every position. They have a little depth problem maybe at the defensive tackles, but they've got a couple of tackles, I think, that can play. They have great linebackers and depth at linebackers. They're all returning. They've got two defensive ends who it's time that Horton and it's time that Kennard come out and prove themselves. This is their money year, so it's time for them to replace the other great defensive ends that have been there, and it's time for them to make a statement. I think that the linebackers will make a statement. Team speed on the defensive side of the football is the main strength of USC. There are veterans. They can play. They've got great players coming in when you think of Bowman and Josh Shaw and all the other backups, which are equally competitive, and there isn't a big drop-off. I think Roby could be possibly one of the best defensive backs in the country. I watch him in the spring, and he absolutely takes receivers out of the game. He's one of the most improved players that I have to say, and I want to say this, too, to everyone. When he first came in, I said to myself, why would they recruit this little tiny defensive back? Because of the size of the offensive receivers today. This guy has completely proved me wrong, and I want to say it here on this show. This kid is a competitor. This kid, number 21, will line up and take you on. Doesn't make any difference. And he proved it to me when he went against Floyd at Notre Dame. He took Floyd completely out of the game. And from then on, he has showed me the type of kid he is. He's a competitor. And I think he sort of leads that defense along with the other veterans that are all back, which are all great players, and DJ and everyone else. So I think that the defensive tackle situation, Uko's got to really come through. Tavai's got to really come through. And a couple of these new players coming in, maybe they'll try Williams inside or whatever. Or Woods could really come through. All they need to do is have a rotation in there, three or four that they can rotate, put a lot of pressure on them, and run fast to the football, and they'll be fine. They'll be fine. But, again, you're going against some of the top offenses too. So being fine is what? You don't shut out people today. It's almost impossible. You used to be able to shut people out. Today you don't shut people out because of the home runs, the extra athlete on the field with the quarterback and the spread offense. And so it's playing defense today is turnovers, field position, and running to the football. And I think SC has all of that.
All right. And, hey, Coach, this wasn't a question from fans, but I wanted to get your thoughts, too. One of the big pieces of news, besides the recruiting stuff going on, was the decision of Jesse Scroggins to transfer out of the program. Maybe kind of get your thoughts, and I don't know if you've ever had quarterbacks like that transfer before, what you thought about how that all went down.
Well, I don't know how it all went down, but everyone can't play. And you're going to always attract great players to USC. And I think that that's part of what USC is all about. If you have an opportunity to play at one of the top programs in America, I think it's a great opportunity. And if you're a competitor, you want to play at a school like this. You don't want to go where you're automatically the starter. How do you get any better? But at USC, you go in against Matic, against Wittig, Kessler comes in, you're there, you redshirted a year, and obviously you're disappointed when you don't have a great spring or you're having problems academically or you're not getting your reps that you think you're supposed to get, and you're a competitor and you want to play. And sometimes it's good for the team, too, because you don't have an unhappy camper on your football team. The other players now have more reps. Manoogian's coming back. Manoogian will run the scout team, so that's fine, and he really does know the offense well. This puts Kessler and Wittig in a position to be the backup and one of them possibly to be the starter next year, depending on how Brown does in the spring, the new recruit coming in. So this gives a kid a chance, and the way I understand it, he's going to junior college. Where he's going, I have no idea. He'll graduate from the community college, play 1 year there, and be immediately eligible at another school. So I think it's good for the kid. The kid has a chance to go on and play, pick another university, and it's good for USC. First of all, it opens up the scholarship for them to stay within their numbers of 75. It doesn't have an unhappy camper in your locker room or feeling he's not getting his chances, or I call them locker room lawyers. He leaves with a good feeling, and these young other players have chances to get more reps. So I think it's good for both. I think it's good for both because it gives a kid a chance to go on. SC will release him, of course. He'll go to a junior college. He'll graduate from a junior college, and he'll probably be at another university in the spring.
All right. Well, let's get back to the questions. This is from Matt on Facebook. He says, USC is finally bowl eligible this season. Do you think the Trojans have what it takes to win the national championship this year?
Well, let me put it to you this way. You've got to be good, and you got to be lucky to win a national championship. Because there's so many things that have to go right for you to win a national championship. I've had teams where I didn't feel they were that good, but they ended up being great because they played well together. When we played some teams, they had some key injuries to some of their best players. Everything went right. We were lucky. We were good. But great teams make their luck. Remember that. Great teams make things happen. And luck doesn't just come along. Great teams make that happen. So I think SC has the potential to win a national championship, but a lot of things have to happen for that to really happen. First of all, you got to play every game one at a time. Every single team, as I mentioned earlier, wants to beat you. Their opener, Hawaii. You got Syracuse. When you go to Stanford, hey, Stanford's learned how to win. Nottingham's their quarterback up there. They had a great recruiting year last year. They got great players there. They got their whole front seven back on defense. They are a football program now. It's not going to be, I'm going to go in and we're going to win at Palo Alto this year. No, they expect to beat you now. In the past, they expected to play well against you and hope they were going to win. Right now, these type of teams like Stanford and Washington, who has somewhat had SC in a pattern when they feel they can beat them and have beaten them, they're not intimidated, and they both have them at home. So it's going to be a difficult thing to go to Stanford because they know how to win. They want to win. They had one of the top teams in the country. They're not dropping off that much. Washington's going to be better. So going to Washington and going to Stanford are two key things. Then you got Oregon coming to the Coliseum, and Oregon's one of the top teams in the country with great team speed. And if you beat Oregon, then you got and you win the South, and you beat the other teams on your schedule, then you got to play Oregon again. And if you beat Oregon, then, of course, you're hoping you're ranked higher, which you should be if you went undefeated. And then you'll get Oregon back at the Coliseum. But the way the Pac-12 rules work, the highest-ranked team will have the home field advantage in a playoff game in the conference. So you'd have Oregon back, I think it's December 1, back in the Coliseum for the championship game. Now, if you win that, then you have the option of going to the Rose Bowl, possibly, or if you go to the national championship game in the Orange Bowl, then Oregon would probably go to, and I'm just assuming these two teams are in it, Oregon. They would go to the Rose Bowl, which would be two great teams coming out of the Pac-12, one to the Rose Bowl and then another one to the national championship game. Can they win the national championship game or go to the national championship game? They definitely can, but they've got to be lucky. They've got to be good. They've got to be injury-free. They can't make stupid mistakes. They've got to make all their field goals. McGrady's got to have a great year punting. They've got to field position. They've got to tackle well. You got to do a lot of things to win a national championship. So, yes, they can, but there's a lot of things that have to happen.
Okay, good one there. Let's go to Kevin on Facebook, and he's like, what's your take on the new McKay Center, which is coming along rather nicely, Coach. I went there on Friday. You could see it just looks really close to being done right now. What's your take on the new McKay Center, and do you think it will help USC compete with and what Kevin is calling the University of Nike and put Oregon in parentheses, top flight facilities?
Well, I think it helps. It certainly does help. They've been able to recruit without having the McKay Center. So it certainly is going to assist them in recruiting better with the McKay Center, because when you look at facilities and you look at the different pluses of a university, you look at the academic side, you look at the athletic side, you look at the facility side, you look at the academic assist programs, and you look at the family and then what you get after you leave USC as far as not only athletically but academically. So it certainly isn't going to hurt USC. It's certainly going to make them now have a facility that ranks with a lot of or as many or maybe the best one in the country. That's what I've heard. I have not gone through it, but I understand it's absolutely fantastic. So it's a plus for USC when you have the locker rooms, the training rooms, the academic support systems, a 30-yard field down in the basement for them to practice on or do their different drills on when they need to do that if the weather's bad or whatever for other reasons, or say they want to have a secret practice and they don't want to do it on the practice field with certain formations or plays or defensive alignments that they're using in a certain game and they don't want to take any chances, you do it down there. You walk through it, you go through it, and you do it in a security type of feeling, which is also a motivating thing to players because they think it's something that's really going to work, but nobody knows about it. So it works psychology-wise or emotionally-wise, and it helps you to be secure that nobody knows what you're coming out with any surprises. So I think the McKay Center is always a plus. I think any time you add to your facilities that it's something that improves to your entire athletic program, because football just doesn't use this as far as recruiting. You don't think track and field coaches, Coach Allis, isn't going to take the kids through here, his recruits? Basketball is not going to take their recruits through there. Baseball is not going to take their recruits through there. Hey, when you have these type of facilities, you want everybody to see them. So it helps the entire athletic department when you upgrade in different areas. And they're also going to move now when they complete that, and they're going to redo Heritage Hall. They're going to do that and go back in and rehab that and make that another beautiful facility. Not that it isn't, but it's going to be a beautiful facility too. So they've got a lot of plans for the athletic department, along with the new sand volleyball facility over there by the Galen Center, which is going to be starting construction here shortly, which is going to be absolutely fantastic. So SC's on top of it, and you got to do these things because competition and athletes look at everything. So I think it's going to be a real plus for the entire university.
All right, we got a few more questions to get to. This one's from Twitter. Can you guys name the top redshirt freshman to watch for this year for USC?
Top freshman?
Top redshirt freshman.
Top redshirt freshman, okay. Well, in the spring, I two really sort of stuck out that I can think of now because I really haven't had a chance to think about it, right, but Antoine Woods, I thought, had an outstanding spring. He lost a lot of weight. I think he lost about 30 pounds. He played hard. He was in on a lot of plays. He held his ground, and I think he's that's exactly a position they need him at, too. So I think Woods would be a redshirt freshman that I look for him to play a lot, and I think he'll play a lot. He'll probably be the third rotating defensive tackle in there at the opening of camp. I really believe that. So I'd say that redshirt, one would be Antoine Woods. The other would be Anthony Serraro. Serraro? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, we've interviewed him. It's funny. And he says Serraro. So,
Serraro, yeah. Okay. I think he had a great spring. I watched him. He ran all over the field. He's quick. He's faster than I thought he was. He's a tough kid. I like him. So I would say, you know, I don't have the roster in front of me, but if you think about the spring and two players that redshirted last year that stuck out to me, I'd say it'd be those two. I think those two will contribute. How about that? I think those two will play a lot.
All right. That makes sense. Let's go with Luke. This is another Facebook one. He wants to know how you think the USC defensive line is looking. And, Coach, I was down there for one of the offseason workouts, and they're kind of practicing on the far end of the field. So it's not really something we got to see too much of, and, you know, obviously you haven't seen them out there yet. But how do you think this defensive line is going to be shaping up when we head into fall camp and then obviously into the season?
Well, you know, one thing about the defensive line, Coach Orgeron has them playing at a different level. What I mean, they're all good athletes, so they wouldn't be at USC. But if you run 4.8, he's got you running 4.7. If you're 6.2, he's got you playing at 6.4. There's one thing he does is he motivates you, and he will not settle for anything but 100% effort. If you jump off sides, you don't want to look to the sideline because you know somebody's going to run out there and headbutt you. So he has you playing at a different level, and he brings the pride of the past defensive lineman to the current defensive lineman and tells them who you are and what is expected of you and will not tolerate anything but the best. So with that type of attitude, he's been able to coach the defensive line at a different level, and the defensive line knows what to expect when they play for Coach Orgeron. That is why he attracts a lot of defense tackles that are 6'1", 6 foot, because he has gotten three or four of them in the NFL, Darrell Casey and all these others, Cody Patterson, they're all playing, starting in the NFL. So he sets a tempo where a lot of other schools say, oh, you're too short to play, not when you play for Coach Ed Orgeron. He puts another level of competitiveness, and you play scared, which means you play 100%. You can't slack off when you play for him. Will they have the best talent? Maybe they don't. But can they develop into a great defensive line? Yes, they can. Because they've got to play as a unit, and they've got to get to the football. You can't have anybody playing on the defensive line that looks for the lookout block. That's when you're pursuing and you look back to see if somebody's going to take a shot at you. And his guys do not look for the lookout block. So you either play at the certain tempo for him, or you don't play at all at USC. So I'm looking for him to get those kids ready to play. I think Uko is going to be a number one draft choice someday. I think Tavai will get better every day. I think Antoine Woods will get in there. And there'll be someone else who surfaces too that will become a not a starter maybe, but become a guy that gets turns this year.
Okay, and then we got one last one, Coach. Let's go. It's on Twitter, and he wants to know, who do you think is going to have a better year, Hayes Pollard or Deion Bailey? And those guys actually tied for the team lead in tackles last year, so I guess that would be a tough call. But who do you think is going to have a better year, Pollard or Bailey?
That's a tough question because they're both great players. I think the one they'll have – how do you say who's what a great year is?
Yeah,
I don't know, about number of tackles or what? I don't know. I don't judge it by the number of tackles because a lot of times teams run away from certain players. They don't want to deal with them. So when you're a great player, they pick someone else to run at or run away from a great player. But I think there are two guys there that you can't run away from. And I think the middle is really secure too with Dawson in the middle. So I really don't know who's going to have a great year. I think they'll both have a great year, barring injuries, which you hope never happens to a player. I think they've got the experience now that they play well together. They cover for each other. They pursue hard. They're understanding the defense. They'll do nothing but get better. Experience is something that is, when you have great talent And then all of a sudden you get experience with that great talent. You turn into what you call a great player. You've got to have a combination of both. And how many freshmen get the turns that these two guys got? I mean, as far as the number of turns that they played. Unbelievable. So they'll both be great. Who will have the better year? Who knows? I hope they have co-great years because you got to have your linebacker play. So I can't say who's going to have the better year. I think they'll both have great years barring any type of injuries.
They certainly had a co-great year last year, a tie-in for the leading tackles, but also making a lot of big plays and really helping out this USC defense. Well, thanks again, Coach, for coming on the show and answering everyone's questions. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time over there in Catalina, beautiful Catalina Island, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Again, thank you, Ryan, and again, thank you all of you out there that send the questions in. You are the ones that make the show, and enjoy your summer and get ready for USC Trojan football. The football season is not that far away, and I'll tell you, it's the most exciting part of the year, so let's get ready.
Certainly is. Okay, thanks again, Coach, and everyone else. We'll be back in 30 seconds. We'll have USCfootball.com beat writer Dan Weber joining the show. Stay tuned for that.
Meet us on the other side of the break for more of the Peristyle Podcast. Tickets, tickets, tickets. SC Tickets is your concert, sports, and theater ticket source. We have the tickets you need to any event worldwide. Football tickets are now available. Call SC Tickets now at 1-800-888-7287. 1-800-888-7287. That's 1-800-888-7287. Or visit us on the web at sctickets.com. SC Tickets, concert, sports, and theater. We now return to the Peristyle Podcast and your host, Ryan Abraham.
We are back at the Peristyle Podcast after a week hiatus for my trip over there to Belize for my anniversary. So we apologize for missing last week. Last time I missed a show, like I said, was my wedding a year ago. So we're back, and we have a very special guest, Dan Weber, coming back to join us. Dan, how you doing?
Very good. Very good. Back to football. This is good.
Yeah, we're back to football. We got a lot of stuff we wanted to cover, but I guess maybe some of the biggest news that broke, and it wasn't really huge news, I guess, but I mean, I think a lot of people saw this coming. Was Jesse Scroggins transferring out. We did have a question on that. I'm going to play that for you right now.
Hi, Ryan. Hope you enjoyed your vacation to Belize. Question is for Dan Weber. With Jesse Scroggins transferring, he also missed time last season with a hand injury. If he goes to junior college and then comes back to an FBS school, will he be able to apply for a hardship waiver, as he missed time with a hand injury, and give him 3 more years of experience and time before moving on to the NFL? Thanks.
I don't think so. I think to get that extra year, which means a second red shirt year over and above a red shirt year already taken, which Jesse has, it has to be an injury that lingers over from 1 year to the next, or the after effects of a particular injury or something like that. But it can't be a separate situation. So basically they give you the option of taking your redshirt year as Jesse did, where you just say, okay, my first year, not ready, like most players, and I'll take the redshirt year. The downside of that is if you get injured, the clock is running. So then once you take your redshirt year, you have 4 years of eligibility left. So you've got 5 years to play four. And so my understanding is that that would not be the case. That he would have 2 more years of eligibility wherever he goes. If he goes to junior college and then comes back, he would be a redshirt junior.
All right. Well, thanks for that one, Dan. Yeah, and maybe get your comments on that about we haven't got to talk about Scroggins transferring out.
Yeah, I think it was a logical thing. It was unfortunate that all the things that happened last year. I mean, I don't think he anticipated, his hand, throwing the ball comes down on a helmet and boom, you know, you're pretty much out for a couple of months when, you know, the two guys you're competing with are there every day. And, you know, it's hard to get two backup quarterbacks enough snaps, but to get three is really difficult. Don't know what would have happened if all three of them would have been there, how they would have figured out, because they needed to have who goes in if Matt goes down. They came up with that Cody Kessler was the most comfortable in terms of the playbook and the huddle and that kind of thing. But they didn't really want to separate them any other way. How they would have handled three, I don't know. And then he gets the, you know, steps. Well, I'm still not sure if that was a sprinkler head or exactly what it was. And at first we thought he hurt his foot or his ankle. I remember he limped off. This is in the spring. And then turns out he'd done something in the way he stepped, and it ended up hurting his hip. But he also then, I think, you know, got a little bit discouraged in the first semester academically, kind of got behind, you know, not the kind of kid that probably should have had a lot of academic issues, which he proved, I guess, second semester in doing well. And now, you know, he can transfer without any problems, and, you know, also doesn't hurt USC in terms of the APR, you know, issue for the NCAA and that, which is good for everybody. But one, you know, there probably is almost no way you can have three guys in the same class at, you know, kind of a comparable level and have it work out. One of them almost has to leave. It's just, you know, because if you've got, you know, the Heisman Trophy leading candidate as the quarterback and three others, you're talking basically somebody's fourth team. And pretty much when you look at Scroggins and Wittick and Kessler, none of those guys probably should be fourth team on anybody's team in college football. And at that point, the only logical thing is for one of them to make a move and go somewhere else. So, you know, I hope it works out well for Jesse, and we'll, you know, we'll be rooting for him. You know, good luck to him, and it'll be interesting to see if he does go the junior college route this year, and then gives himself a, you know, sort of the Cam Newton approach after he left Florida, would seem to make a lot of sense.
All right, yeah, worked out for Cam, obviously. Listen, we had a question from Matt Thompson, and I guess we kind of talk about this subject a little bit. He wanted to know, are you able to post videos of the throwing sessions? I remember watching these in the past and really enjoyed them. Good chance to watch one-on-ones and how the new guys look. And Matt, just to let you know, and I wanted Dan to comment on what we've saw 1 week into USC summer workouts. So we'll talk about what's been going on. They've thrown a couple of times, and I was out there for the second one. We're still waiting official word from USC on this. What we're not going to be able to do is post full highlight videos, and it looks like photo galleries like we have done in the past. I mean, that's coming down from the conference. They don't want the Pac-12 doesn't want a way for the coaching staff to essentially take attendance during these volunteer workouts. But I think there's going to be, we might be able to show you a little bit of stuff. We haven't heard, at least that's what the conference was telling us. My contacts at Yahoo, we had them connect directly, but we haven't heard an official word from USC at this point. So, but just, yeah, look on the site. We'll have some stuff. If you saw Dan's story on the walk-ons, we put some pictures up of the new guys from the workout. So that's stuff we hadn't done last summer and in the winter when the ruling came down that we weren't allowed to do that anymore. But so we should have a little bit of wiggle room, but not exactly the way it used to be, at least for right now. And Dan, maybe you wanted to get your comments on what you saw, like the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I guess it's almost an extension of, as we toured the McKay Center, and we were kidding because Lane, you know, Kiffin's office is at the end on the top floor overlooking Howard Jones Field. And I kind of was kidding about, well, you know, when the coaches aren't allowed to observe practice and their kids are out there working out, you know, what happens, to be sure. They said, oh, they've got a security system with curtains that, you know, you can't see through, that are automatically drawn, and then they have a way of documenting on a time, some sort of a time secure system which can document that the curtains were absolutely shut and there was absolutely no way that Lane could be watching anybody work out when the players are on the field. I was only half kidding, and it turns out, no, they absolutely are going to have to do that. People could say by extension, if we really do extensive, say, video, it allows the coaches to monitor practice. And so, I'm sure they probably are an awful lot of the 120, whatever, four now Division I programs. I'm sure they don't all have curtains and security systems on the coaches' windows, to be honest. But USC is USC, and that's how they've got to do it, and that's how they're going to do it. I will say this, and we're not and they've gone back and forth on this. 2 years ago, I guess we were allowed to be there when the strength and conditioning coaches were working with them. And now we're not. This year, they've changed the rule, and they've extended the ruling from last year that, no, if the coaches are there, then you have to stay out, and then we can go watch when they do the voluntary stuff afterwards. But the one observation is they're working them harder than we've ever seen them work them, and that's what the kids are saying too. I mean, they went on, and there was a lot of extended running. I mean, again, we're not inside, but from being outside, they certainly look like they're working them very, very hard. And I thought guys certainly look like they're in the best shape that we've seen them in. And I think that's one of the ways that you counter, 75 scholarships. The second way we tried to document a little bit too is you get more good walk-ons, which isn't easy when you're a private school, but in an more academically elite private school. But USC looks like they're working at that one as well. So, it's. The evolution of the rulings on what can you photo and what you can't. And one of the things I think is, Ryan, is you're kind of always on the cutting edge of these rulings, because I think we're probably doing things here first, doing them before somebody else is. And, we're there, and we're the ones that maybe even cause them, I think, at times to have to come up with rulings on what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. You don't always see everybody else doing this. It isn't probably illogical to think that it seems like they're always having to come up with rulings that affect us. I think that's probably true.
It is. And just to clarify what Dan was saying on the strength and conditioning workouts, we used to go attend those as well. When Chris Carlisle was there, he always would allow us to take photos, but he wasn't really big on the video. So we would usually just take photos per his request. And it does seem like, Dan, at least from what I'm told, the ruling on us filming the off-season throwing sessions is like a conference thing. But so that theoretically won't change. But the ruling on being at the strength coaches thing is, I think it's a probation thing. So when USC comes off probation, theoretically, we'd be able to attend those again.
I wish we were as clear as we could be, because I remember last year, first time we were told you couldn't do that, the throwing session stuff, and it was a conference rule. I think like the next day, there was this extensive photo layout of the Oregon off-season workouts, and we were just like, hello? Anybody there? I mean, so, and we never did get an absolute, completely clear answer as to, what was it, a conference? Was it, initiated by USC through the conference? Was it initiated by the conference through USC? How exactly did it happen? We don't know, I don't think. And I'm not sure we've gotten a clear enough answer to be able to tell anybody this is exactly how it happened, or even exactly why it happened, or, no one writes you a letter and says, this is the rule number such and such, and this is the interpretation, and this is the person that interpreted that. Like, that's not happening.
No, it's not. It's hard to get a clarification. I'm surprised we even got or word back from the conference, but I'm glad we did, and hopefully that'll, you know, improve our coverage and we get some better stuff for everyone out there. Let's go to social media on this was a tweet we got from DP Paul. No, I'm sorry. This is from Facebook. This is from Paul on Facebook. He wants to know the health status of Robert Woods. We've got to see him out there during these off-season workouts. Dan, what's the latest on Robert Woods?
Well, he said he's absolutely pain-free, which always is a plus. He wasn't pain-free pretty much the entire year last year or in the spring, actually. So that's a plus. I mean, I saw something on ESPN the other day, Andre Ware, worried about, well, he's not been cleared yet. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. And I think that's the point was when he left spring, the idea was stay off of it until July. So he's actually back earlier, and he's been running and more extensively than last summer, individual workouts with Matt Barkley. So he hasn't been cleared to go, you know, with the team yet. Said he needed one more MRI, and I hope they are conservative with him. I mean, he doesn't need to prove anything, and he basically finally got him to exactly what really happened. He said it was just an ankle sprain. That because of the way he was running on it and the way his, you know, feet are now, they're getting different orthotics and they're really trying to refine them so that he doesn't, you know, put any extra pressure on the inside of that one ankle. But he said basically he just built up some scar tissue there, and the scar tissue was painful, and that's what had to be cleared out. But he said it wasn't anything like some exotic, you know, tendon injury or anything like that. And he said it basically just some scar tissue that built up after an ankle sprain that he did in playing basketball. But I think the thing that's fun to watch is, I mean, he's bigger now. He's like 6'1.5" and 196 to 198, and you know, that's 6 or 8 pounds bigger than last year. He still looks lean as can be. But he does look a little taller, and just the way George Farmer does as well. Kind of interesting. You forget these guys are still pretty young guys. And George Farmer at over 6'2 is fairly imposing looking athlete. The thought of, and throw Marquise Lee in there with his physical development, you know, through the long jumping and that in the spring. If the guys are all healthy and ready to go, it's just almost impossible to imagine they all played at the same high school. It's just, you know, one of those things. If you want to know the kind of things, I think originally when I got here, it hit me that USC winning 3 Heisman trophies in 4 years was the original thing that pushed the SEC people over the cliff. And then the next thing is the fact that USC could get 3 athletes like that from one high school where they could take a bus to campus is the next thing that pushes the SEC over the cliff, because it's just, to some of these places in this country, it doesn't seem fair that those kinds of kids are sitting out there who could literally take a city bus to USC's campus and that 3 of them would all be on this, you know, from the same high school. It just seems like that can't possibly be true. How can that happen? You know, it's just not fair. You know, we haven't, you know, you could hear some of these guys saying, we haven't had 3, you know, receivers that good in the state of, say, Tennessee for the last 30 years. And USC gets 2 out of 2 years of classes at Sarah High School. And look, you know, it just, and they're probably right.
All right. Let's see. Let's move on, Dan. Yeah, and it is hard to imagine those 3 guys are coming out of the same high school within 2 years of each other. But let's see, Frank wanted to know, can you provide us with an update on our new freshman who's already reported to campus? And USC had a lot of injuries, surgeries, and medical issues in the spring. How about an update on some of those players? So some injury updates and some new faces that we've seen during the first week of summer workouts.
Well, actually, the only 2 that are here tight end Jalen Fitzpatrick, who were getting good reports on, although he wasn't able to be there Friday. I guess, you know, 6'5", 250 plus. I guess Randall Telfer is sort of his big brother, you know, the tight end, and he's very impressed with him physically and with his willingness to work and work hard. And, you know, some of the people were saying he doesn't look like a freshman. And I think the other kid there is Max Turk, and he just seems like he's already, you know, fitting in, and they had him at left guard the other day. One of the early reports we're getting is that that he's just killing it in the weight room. It's kind of interesting because he doesn't look like a workout warrior. He's kind of got this, you know, he's kind of a youngish-looking kid, you know, kind of a baby-faced, you know, kid that could easily still be in high school. Very competitive, very athletic, looks like he can, you know, adjust to probably any position on the offensive line. But the first report we got from some of the other players was that they were surprised at just how much of a weight room warrior he was. That he was just, you know, one of the guys called him a beast in the weight room, which is always a good report to hear from a freshman, because that's a pretty big adjustment to with USC pushing him as hard as they are in terms of conditioning and weightlifting, that's a pretty good report. But so far, those are the two that are here, and the rest of them are going to start filtering in, I think, you know, over the next week or so.
And then injury-wise, if anyone interesting stick out to you?
Let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anybody. DJ Morgan maintains that, you know, burst that we hadn't seen until this spring, and I think running the hurdles and you know, getting that one great time that he had in the 110 hurdles, and I guess he had about three things we saw Friday where, you know, one deep pass and a couple of runs up the middle where he's got a burst that, you know, even with as athletic as the USC secondary kids are, he's got a burst that I think will shock people. He did it, you know, the one time in the spring game. But to me, he's the kid I think that, you know, matters the most, you know, after Robert. You know, after Robert. Robert was there. He's sort of now he's the player coach until he's cleared. So he kind of runs the offensive side in the players only throwing sessions. But I'm trying to think if there's what's his name? Let's see. Hayward looked much more active. He never have surgery, but we didn't get a chance to talk to him. We've got to find out about his back, because his back kind of really limited him as a freshman, and he looks like he's certainly in there mixing it up. I guess Abe Markowitz seems to be at absolutely 100% after the, you know, fractured one foot and then the next, and I think they've got him worked out in terms of the right kind of shoes and orthotics and support system. I think they're doing a better job. I've been a kind of a, you know, on the warpath about making sure they get the shoes that, you know, fit, you know, the players' feet in terms of all the support things that they need, and not necessarily if you're some 300-pound lineman, do you need a Nike Speed shoe that's kind of narrow and what have you. So I think they're working at that more. I'm trying to think who else would be.
How about Javarius Allen, maybe? Or
who was that?
Like Buck Allen.
Oh, I mean, Buck just looked, you know, I mean, I think his was just a matter of time. He was almost back. I think what he said, it was by the end of spring, he was 80%, and he looked fine. He's told me 100%, and looked loose and free. Every time you see him, he looks a little taller and a little leaner. But he looked good, I thought, physically, and said he's feeling fine. So, other than that, you know, I mean, like the tight ends, you had nagging stuff that kept one out or kept the other out, or with Junior Palme, or they all look, you know, the whole group of tight ends is back, except for The one who isn't back yet is Christian Thomas, and they think that he's going to, again, like maybe the advice for Robert, is not push it too hard and wait until August for him, I think. I think because, you know, I think they've been figuring ways to rehab those hips quicker than they used to. I mean, it used to be at least a full year for those guys when they had that surgery. And I think maybe, you know, some of them have come back slightly quicker, and I think we assume that they're all going to be able to come back, you know, in 6 months or 8 months, and that's just not the case. So I think Christian, they're going to play it, you know, and it's not even conservative because he got the surgery probably in October. So, you know, you're still, you know, only it's only 10 months, so if he doesn't do anything until August. But I think Christian, I guess, would be the other one. Junior Palme looks, you know, he looks fine. I think pretty much Torrey Harris, he's got that nerve injury in his shoulder, and he was out there. And I know even last year, by the end of the year, it was a kind of a day-to-day thing where it's the kind of thing that they can't necessarily force to regenerate. It's just they sort of test him every day. And see if it's responding. They seem much more optimistic now that it has responded, and that he'll be able to go you know, full go in the fall. But he would be the other one. I think Drew McAllister, his hips, he's had both of those done for that hip cartilage. He certainly seems to be moving well. Josh Shaw was out there and looked like, you know, he's not bothered by that broken rib at all.
All right. Well, if you think of anyone else, we can add him on the end there. But
We didn't get to see the linemen work out down at the other end of the field, and without pads, you really don't, you know, you really can't tell. I guess the Temple kid who missed spring ball.
Cody Temple,
one,
yeah.
I think. He looked like he was okay. I mean, he looked fine, but again, you know, you really can't, you can't tell as much with the linemen when they're, you know, working out in the, you know, they're doing a lot of you know, stances and starts and a lot of stuff with their hands and that. But you can't tell all the way. But he would be one, you know, that we'll probably pay more attention to as we go along.
All right. We got a couple more to get to. This is a Twitter one from jbrax1122. He says, can you give your two deep predictions for the secondary and for the backup wide receiver spots?
Well, I mean, backup wide receiver, you know, I think you just say, you know, George Farmer and Devon Flournoy and, you know, revolve those two, any combination, you know, you want. And I think that's how they're going to do it, too. I think they're going to have, you know, different guys in different places and different situations. And but I think you're going to see both of them without a doubt. What they do with Nelson Aguilar is going to be the interesting question as to what kind of things they try to get him into his first year, where they try to get him the ball and line him up. And so I would put him an asterisk there. And then the secondary, obviously, you've got three starting cornerbacks at one spot. So, I mean, you basically have, you know, the two safeties in Juwanza Starling and T.J. McDonald, and you have Nickell Roby on the one side. And then you've got, you know, three guys, Torrin Harris and Anthony Brown and Isaiah Wiley all started at that other cornerback opposite Nickell. Then you've got, you know, safeties. You've got the new guys. Josh Shaw can play both places. Gerald Bowman coming in from Pierce Junior College, you know, one of the top prospects in, you know, junior college in the country. You've got, let's see. Drew McAllister certainly looks healthy. You've got Demetrius Wright. Looks, every time you see him, you just think, gosh, this kid can play. You know, big and strong and tough. How that's going to you know, break the, you know, how that's going to shake out in terms of, I know Lane really wants to be able to play too deep in the secondary. Now, whether, you know, that means even having T.J. McDonald or Nickell not in there all the time, I don't know. But he really, really, really wants to be able to play too deep in the secondary. It looks like they've got the numbers. It looks like they've got the experience. I mean, Brian Balcom has had a really good spring. Give him another athlete, a veteran, hasn't had a chance to really show what he could do. But it would seem that they can play too deep easily if Shaw and Bowman are both up to speed quickly. But I'm not going to pick that second the way to, you know, if Lane doesn't know how that's going to work, you know, break down, I'm not going to try to, you know, jump in there and assert myself. I think they would have liked to have seen Shaw in the spring, and his rib injury didn't allow him to do that. So they're just waiting to see, you know, what those guys show him.
All right. Then one last one, Dan. This is from Mason. He said, how worried should USC fans be about the possibility of losing Coach O within the next few years? He's been doing an unbelievable job recruiting and coaching, and it seems like another big-time program would try and offer him a head coaching or defensive coordinator job. Is he happy at USC, or should we be expecting a Coach O departure within the next few years? Love the show and keep up the great work. That's from Mason.
You know what? I was thinking probably the high water mark for anybody who's a USC fan had to be that Oklahoma game in the Orange Bowl. And I think, you know, we all knew that was, you know, the goodbye night for Coach O, and that there wasn't any doubt that he was on his way. And if you have to trade one for the other, I guess that's what you do. And I wouldn't look at it. I mean, I would like to see the best for Coach O and the best for USC, and I think he deserves another shot. I mean, he put together an Ole Miss. He had some real, you know, issues and getting a staff together, and that's not the easiest place to put things together, but he did a marvelous job recruiting, got really screwed. His team he puts together, that he has a really good year. Of course, Houston Nutt comes in and, you know, grabs the team, and, you know, there's the people at Ole Miss that made that call really deserve all the bad things that have happened to him since then. And because that was crummy, not allowing, you know, Coach O to benefit from all the, you know, his first 3 years of recruiting and putting that team together. My take is, depending on how this year goes, you know, you're going to have to look at, you know, T. Martin, you're going to have to look at Coach O and say, you know, people would be crazy not to be taking a look at, I mean, a program that I'm really familiar with at Kentucky. I mean, how could you not look at either one of those two guys, you know, at a program where, you know, the lifeblood is going to be recruiting and where they're near lots of good players but don't have any, maybe enough in their own state. The difference at a Kentucky or a Tennessee is having the right guy who can, you know, reach out to, you know, Ohio and Indiana and Pennsylvania, places like that, and really, you know, take the, you know, the kids that can give you a good program. And a guy like T. Martin certainly seems to have all the qualities that anybody would ever need to be able to do that, and as Coach O has. And so I wouldn't say worried, but you know, let's hope what happens in a way that people can't not come after them for what, you know, they've done at USC. And That's how I'm going to choose to look at it.
All right, Dan. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show as always. And thanks, everyone, for being patient in our week off last week and sending in all the questions on Twitter and Facebook and our email address. Don't forget to email us, podcast@uscfootball.com, if you want to send any questions in for next week's show. And, Dan, thanks again for joining us. It's always fun.
Thanks. Hey, Ryan, glad you're back.
All right. Everyone else, thank you
see
very
you
much.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, everyone else, thank you for tuning into the Peristyle Podcast, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your iPod or MP3 player for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.